everybody, and welcome to the latest Snodcast. You'll catch the very best of the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show right here over the course of the next 30 minutes or so. Now, last week, if you checked out our Snodcast, you'll be well aware that I got to play for Bangor Football Club against my idols. Yeah, the Liverpool legends. But as I loosely described my performance last week as above average, I got asked to play once again. Who for and how did I get on? You'll find out shortly. Also, coming up, we discuss OCD habits. The farmer's back with another farmer's forecast. And this time, we could actually say that he administers cruelty to animals. You'll find out why shortly. Kirsty's off to a family reunion, which causes a bit of controversy on the show. And we discuss something about GMTV that well and truly does my head in. We get to the bottom of it right here on this week's Snodcast.
97.4 Cool FM Snodcast.
Now, Saturday, I lived a childhood dream. I was like a little boy in a sweet shop, sitting in the changing room with all the Liverpool legends. Kirsty, it was unbelievable. I was sitting there with John Aldridge. And you know, whenever you were a kid and you were playing in a sports team and the banter that went on in the changing rooms,
yeah.
Whenever someone went, and all that stuff still happens. Jason McAteer was talking about Patrick Berger and how he never stood beside him in a team photograph because he was so good looking, etc., etc. And there was all this banter that was going on. It was brilliant. And I was stepped out in the pitch and I was playing against, well, they were playing against the Glentoran legends, which included Billy Caskey, who I went to his testimonial at the Glens back in 88 against Dundee United. Barney Bars was playing as well. Morning to Billy. Billy listens to the show every morning.
Does he?
Yeah, morning. He does all right. And I have to say, he was looking in great shape. And I remember whenever he used to work in the Cineplex in Bangor many years ago, he let me into Days of Thunder for free.
Oh wow.
Wow, I remember it. You see, Billy? Things I remember. It wasn't about the goals you scored or your performances, but you let me into Days of Thunder for free. So thank you very much for that. So anyway, I have to say, whenever I stepped out on the pitch, right, I was quite intimidated. You know why?
Why?
Because whenever you go out in front of a big crowd, normally you've got the microphone. So it means you've always got the last word.
Which you love.
Yes, you're right. But whenever you're on the pitch and you've no microphone, the crowd have the last word.
Yep.
Right, so anyway.
How did it go?
Well, for the length of time that I was on the pitch, which wasn't much, I got on with about 10 minutes ago at the end of the first match against Glentoran. And I got onto the pitch and I made a couple of passes, played Phil Babb into the game, made, even if I do say so myself, a pretty good run.
Right.
Okay. And took two defenders out of the game. Phil Babb just had to play the ball to me and he didn't. Got it. But anyway, there was another guest player for Liverpool and that was James Walsh off Star Sailor. And James was playing. It is the last minute of the game, okay?
Yeah.
James was playing and he was in the right wing and he got the ball. He's up a right wing and he had a chance to shoot at the goal.
Right.
He didn't take the chance.
Did
and
he
went
it?
And he passed it to me.
Ooh.
Now, there's the goal. Just me against the keeper. Ball in front of me. And in my head, I had already scored it. Honestly, I had already scored. I thought, this is unbelievable. I'm playing for Liverpool legends. I'm playing against the Glentoran legends. The crowd are going to go nuts. I've scored. What would Andy Graham, Martin Tyler of Sky Sports say at this stage? And it was all in my head.
Take a tap in these circumstances. What you have seen is a strike as good as anything the competition has produced in this and many a season.
Well, you don't need me to explain that. This is special.
It was all in my head. The crowd were going wild. I was living the childhood dream. And then, Kirsty, it all went wrong.
Oh, no.
Do you want to know what really happened?
What happened?
I woke up and thought, damn, I haven't even kicked the ball yet. And then this is what happened. Nearly hit the corner flag.
Oh, hey.
Even so, it was still a brilliant day. But that will haunt me for the rest of my life.
Snodden Breakfast Show. Snodcast.
I have to say, it came into my head last night about Zoe Salmon, right?
Why was that?
Don't be thinking that. She just popped into my head last night. Uh-huh. Because before I went on holidays, she had said to me about coming over to her last show on Blue Peter. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get a chance to go because of my holidays. And I haven't watched Blue Peter in ages. And we were discussing Blue Peter on this show numerous times. And I think we both are under the feeling that Zoe left at the right time.
Yes.
Because somehow, I don't know whether this is just me or Kirsty, or maybe you think this as well, but I think Blue Peter, it's been on for it's an institution, but I think somehow it has lost its way with the youth of today.
Mm. There's so many other channels now. They're all into different things.
And I don't think it plays a role for kids the way it used to. I mean, let's face it, Kirsty, you've got children yourself. Mm-hmm. Do your children wait for the last sheet of toilet paper to go so they can hold on to the roll?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
Do they torture you for sticky back plastic?
But they do need egg boxes today. And I didn't have school. Any. No, they're not at school. It's summer scheme.
Oh, that's right. Good point. What month are we on? July. That's right. It was so long since I've had a school holiday, I can't remember what they feel like or when they are. But anyway, but you know what I mean? They don't torture you for sticky back plastic and Pritt stick.
They did for a while. They used to be huge fans of Blue Peter.
Really?
Yeah.
But then
then sort of things like Zoe 101 and Hannah Montana took over, things like that.
High School Musical. Bye, Blue Peter. Bye. Yeah. So I think Zoe's left at the right time. She's done fantastically well on that show. But has she started her brand new show yet on BBC? It's a kids' quiz show. Has she started that yet?
I don't know. Because we don't really have BBC Kids TV on anymore.
Okay, well, could we find out when it's on so we can watch it?
Yeah.
See what it's like? I've sort of been thinking about Blue Peter presenters, and at the end of the day, I can't remember, right, any of them, right? Well, Zoe's going to be the one that's going to be different. But doing anything of great stature following Blue Peter.
There is one.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just can't think properly.
The only one I can think of is the one that was sacked for drugs. Do you remember your man? And he went
Tim
on.
Tim Vincent.
Tim Vincent's done okay for himself.
No, he's done okay.
He was hot though.
So that's what you were talking about.
No. There was another one, and he went on to do stuff like The Big Breakfast on Channel 4, things like that.
Who was that now?
I can't remember his name.
That's Wick. If you do know, do let us know this morning. Connie Hugg's another one. She's hot.
Yes.
She is hot. But apparently she's finding it very, very tough to get work. Apparently next year's Blue Peter appeal will be for her.
The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show. Snodcast.
I've got a funny feeling, Kirsty, that we could perhaps get a call from the RSPCA, the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, following the next segment of the show.
Really?
With what's going to happen.
Oh, no.
I reckon they'll be on the phone for us, wanting to know the farmer's whereabouts, his details and how to get in contact with him.
Mm-hmm.
You find out why now.
The Farmer's Forecast with our resident Andy Man. Outstanding in his own field.
Hi, Farmer.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. It's very mild out here today.
Quite wet though, no?
No, it's, well, it's damp.
Moist would probably be the best word I would use.
Yes, it's not raining.
No. So listen, I mentioned the RSPCA, and the reason why I've mentioned them is because you told me off air what you did yesterday, and what was that?
Well, I had a slight problem yesterday because I have two geese roll about the farm, right?
Right.
They went down to the bottom of the lane, and a car scared them up into the next door neighbour's garden.
Uh-huh.
Right. So I got a phone call from Bob to tell me that the geese are in his garden. So I had to go up, and the only way you can catch them is if you rugby tackle them.
So you rugby tackled two geese yesterday? Farmer, that's not good. Are they all right?
Well, they're fine now, yes, because they're back home again, but it does take a considerable amount of time.
Yeah, okay, time for you, time for them to recuperate.
Time for me. That's quite a strenuous job.
All right, okay. What else has been going on the farm, labouring-wise, in the last 24 hours?
Well, over the last couple of days, because it's been so sunny, I've been trying to make some hay.
Make hay while the sun shines.
Yes, that is correct. But the problem is, because it rained last night, it sort of ruined them.
Unbelievable, Kirsty. It just goes to show we didn't have to do any agricultural exams whatsoever to know that. Isn't that brilliant?
No, I know.
And I've been told today, Farmer, that your weather forecast, we have to listen carefully, because if you don't listen carefully, it could all be a wee bit above our heads.
Yes, the word would be instrumentally.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, right, whatever. Okay, give it to us this morning.
Okay. Well, this morning when I was out standing in my field, I noticed that my all-black cows, which are Aberdeen Angus breed, were lying under the hedge, and my all-brown cows, which are Limousin breed, were lying in the middle of the field. Now, this is because the all-black cows attract too much heat from the sun and therefore get burnt in high temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
So because they're under the hedge, I'm expecting it to be a bright sunny afternoon, feeling warm, at 22 degrees and a sunburn factor of 7.
That's brilliant. Mike's in his car. He has a round of golf booked today. He wanted to know exactly what the weather forecast was going to be, and you've told him that.
Is it going to rain?
No, it'll be a good afternoon for golf.
Farmer, tell you something. The wind's fairly good up in your field.
It's it's not too bad.
Do you know how we knew that?
Why?
Because looking out the window today, I can see a blade of grass and it's moving from side to side. So that tells me that today might be windy.
Thank you, Farmer.
No problem.
Snodcast. I've just realised that I've endeavoured to change something that I tend to do on a regular basis. And it's with regards to eating my yoghurt in the morning. Now, for those of you who listen to the show on a regular basis, you'll know that every morning in life, pretty much, I have a strawberry yoghurt. Yes, you may say it's bland, but it's better than rhubarb. That's all I can say. And what I tend to do is I never seem to have like tissue paper or kitchen roll or anything with me. So I tend to sort of just wrap the spoon up on a bit of paper and put it in my bag. And then about five spoons later, whenever you take them out to try and actually put them in a dishwasher, you've got bits of paper that are actually stuck onto the spoon.
Yeah, I have the same problem.
But it's pretty bad because whenever you take it in a dishwasher, it doesn't actually take it off. Not really. No, sometimes you get wee bits of remnant of paper on there.
You need to soak it for a while first.
Yeah, and I can never be bothered.
Have you sorted out the bottom of your dishwasher yet?
Bottom of the dishwasher all sorted out. Yeah, the filter was well and truly cleaned because it wasn't cleaned for quite some time and I was wondering what the pong was, but anyway, I got sorted.
It was minging, isn't it?
Yeah, it's rotten.
It's not good.
It's not very nice. But I've still got an issue with the dishwasher, right?
What's that?
And that is the case that of rinsing stuff before you put it in.
Well, I know, what's the point? You might as well wash it.
Exactly.
This
is my point exactly. I just tend to...
What a waste of water.
I just tend to put it in, right? And then stick the tablet in and stick it on. Whereas Julia, she doesn't like that. She prefers to have it rinsed before it goes in. Mind you, right? Mm. There's a guy that I know, right? Wait for this one here. This is the best story ever. I do not know how he can be asked. And this isn't a woman, right? This is a guy.
Right.
He takes his stuff and he rinses it.
Yeah.
Then he puts it in the dishwasher and the dishwasher goes on.
Yeah.
Then he takes the stuff out of the dishwasher and washes it by hand.
What?
Trueville.
Has he got OCD?
I don't know what he's got. Whatever he's got, I don't want it.
Snodcast. And on a brighter note, it seems Cupid is still alive and well in Northern Ireland, with 83% of us believing love can last forever.
Oh, bless.
Yeah.
I'm a believer.
Are you?
And then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show. Pete and Kirsty. 97.4 Cool FM. Snodcast.
You're looking forward to the weekend this weekend. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I'm off all weekend long. I've got another wedding to go to at the weekend.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. Which is, it's the first wedding in a while.
I know.
It's wedding number 5 this year. and it's the first in a while. I'm glad this time I don't have 3 in 1 week.
I know.
3 in 1 week were great, I have to say. I'm not being disrespectful because I enjoy getting invited to weddings because weddings are great and I really, really, really enjoy them. And I love the speeches and I love the crack and it's fantastic. And also, it reminds you of your own wedding day and makes you appreciate what you had. And also, you're not under pressure because you know you don't have to give a speech yourself, which is great.
Uh-huh.
In fact, to be quite honest with you, it wasn't my speech that I had a problem with. I didn't have a problem standing up giving my speech. It was two best men speeches. I had to sit through two best men speeches and the sweat was running down the shock. I have to be honest with you. But anyway, apart from that it was all good. So another wedding on the weekend, so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm going to Donegal.
Are you?
It's been donkeys since I've been in Donegal. We're going to Harvey's Point. This is where the wedding is. But it sucks somewhat because I couldn't get a hotel room in the hotel. So I've got to stay in Donegal Town. And I don't know how far Donegal Town is away from Harvey's Point.
Oh, it could be miles.
I don't know.
I have a family reunion this weekend.
Do you?
Yes, the McMurrays are all getting back together. I haven't seen any of them for years and years and years.
And where are they from?
Bangor.
And where do you live, Kirsty?
Bangor.
So they live around the corner and you haven't seen them in years?
No, they don't live around the corner. We just lose touch with people, don't you? So that's coming up on Saturday.
Oh, very good. And where are you going?
Round to one of their houses.
Are we yawning there?
No.
Oh, that's okay then. That's okay. Sorry, I just thought you were yawning there. As in like, I really couldn't be asked. that's just what immediately came into my head.
Done. You're going to get me in so much trouble. No, I'm looking forward to it. Be good.
Oh, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Oh, can't wait. Oh, it's going to be a brilliant day.
Snodden Breakfast Show. Snodcast.
That wasn't very nice what you were saying there.
What are you talking about, McMurray? What?
You're winding me up.
About what?
About my family reunion.
Well, I'm sorry for that.
So you should be. I know, you caused me grief.
What, by saying that you don't want to go?
I'm getting funny looks from everybody. I'm thinking I don't want to be there.
But these sort of things happen all the time. All you got to do is open up a tabloid newspaper, right, and then go to like page 8, and the smallest possible print in a wee small corner of the paper, it says, on July 10th, we printed an article saying that blah, 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 slept with blah, blah, blah. Our claims were in fact false, and we apologise for that. Do you want one of those?
Yes, please.
This is a Pete Snodden Breakfast Show disclaimer. The comments that were made on Wednesday, the 30th of July, with regards to Kirsty not looking forward to her family reunion, were indeed false. And Pete accepts responsibility for all claims that were made. Thank you.
That's much better, thanks.
Happy now?
Sort of.
Will that stop the funny looks when you get to your family reunion?
I hope so.
Now, last night, I didn't know whether you caught the F word or not. Did you say Kirsty?
I missed it last night, that's
Well, I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed the show. There's a lot of work goes into the F word. Now, I'll be honest, this series, I haven't got to see too much of it. I've caught about 2 half episodes, and last night I watched the full thing from start to finish. And it was a brilliant show, and it was the final show of the series. And the Blatt sisters were on, you know, Melanie and Nicola, as of All Saints fame.
That'll be their return. They would have been on before. Within this series,
yes.
With the families cooking.
Well, anyway, they were looking pretty hot in the kitchen, I have to say. I prefer... I don't know what it was. I don't want to be too past remarkable here, right? But when it comes to Nicola, right?
Yeah.
Blonde hair.
Yeah.
She's saucy. And the other one, I don't know which one's nice. Anyway, they're both nice, okay? We'll just leave it at that. They're both nice.
And they're both great cooks. They did really well in their first round, so obviously they got the highest score
to
come back on the last episode.
They did really, really, really well, I have
to
say.
So what happened? Did they get scored last night, or...?
Yeah, I can't remember the exact scores, but there was never less than 5 people in any course that wouldn't pay for their actual meal. So,
There was never less than 5 people that wouldn't pay?
No.
Never more,
that's what I mean. Okay, so let's say there was 50 people eating, 45 people paid for...
Their meal.
All right.
Right, okay.
That was the minimum.
Yeah.
So it was good.
Very good.
But anyway, on the news the other day, we were talking about Gordon, who was going to track down and hunt puffins to eat.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever just happened to eating chicken? Do you know what I mean?
Everything tastes like chicken anyway.
Do you know what I mean?
What did the puffins taste like last night?
Apparently the puffins were lovely. But I had to laugh because he made this this rustic bread.
Uh-huh.
Whenever he was in Iceland, and he put it in like a Cadbury's Roses tin and then went and buried it in a volcano.
Oh, class.
Yeah, brilliant.
I would love to go to Iceland.
Yeah. The thing which amazed me, right, about it, he didn't put a wee marker or anything up as to where the tin was.
Right.
And then he came back on the show a bit later on. He says, oh, it was a big hit with the locals because my bread was nicked. I don't think it was nicked. I just think he couldn't find it. I'll be honest, I don't think he could find it. You know, he dug his big hole and he stuck his tin down there. And then he didn't even put like a marker, like X marks the spot so he knew where to go back to actually find his tin. He just said that locals nicked it. But, you know, it was in the middle of absolutely nowhere and there was no one around. So I couldn't really see someone going and nicking his Cadbury's tin with his bread inside. I just think he couldn't find it.
It's
but anyway,
covering it up.
That's besides the point. The big news the other day was the fact that Gordon fell off a cliff.
Yes,
whilst trying to catch a puffin. Now, I'll be totally honest with you, Kirsty, where he was actually trying to catch these puffins in a net. I mean, there was a huge, massive drop into the ocean.
It was 280 feet. Okay. Would that be about right? Because I didn't watch it last night, so I missed
it. Easy. And I'll be honest with you, it didn't show him falling on the show. And if he had fallen, I don't think he would have got up again. I don't think he would still be living.
But he fell into water, which was the problem, because then he was dragged down by the water going into his boots and stuff and his coat and whatever, and it was dragging him down. He couldn't get to the surface.
But you're telling me he did make it to the surface?
Well, yeah, the rest of the crew up above the cliff, they chucked a rope down after he'd been under for about 30 seconds and dragged him up. He obviously grabbed hold of it and they dragged him out. Well, so he wouldn't, the water probably broke his fall.
You're telling me for a fact that he definitely fell?
Oh, he definitely fell.
It wasn't in the show.
Well, they're not going to put that bit in, are they?
I can't believe they edited out the best part of the show last night. The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show. Snodcast. Lucky? Well, yeah, I did get lucky. I got my barbecue built.
Wait, hey.
If you were listening to the show the other day, I did mention that since the big corporate store arrived, you know, the Flat Pack Heaven place.
Yes.
Well, a lot of people are setting up business in terms of coming out your house to actually build the stuff for you.
Oh, did you get somebody out to do it then?
No, I didn't actually. Although there was someone who contacted me and saying that they would actually come out for a fee to build this barbecue. I thought last night I would have a crack at it myself. Now, three or four years back, I sat in my old house with my friend Nick and we built my last barbecue and it took us a good 4.5 hours.
Right.
So we did beat that record last night.
Oh.
But can I just tell you that the actual main part of the barbecue, the steel bit, you know, with
the gas works.
Yeah, it was all built already. So we just had to build the wooden frame for it.
All right, okay. How long did it take you?
2 hours.
To build a frame?
Yes.
And were there any bits left over?
Well, I've got to be totally honest with you, right? There was no bits left over. There was no bits left over. But we realised at the end that we had made two mistakes.
Okay.
The first mistake was that there was the actual slats that go between the frame to hold it in place.
Right.
Okay, to make it rigid, that we had actually put them on the wrong way. So whenever I went to put the wee box that sparks, you know, that said the battery signal sends the spark to light the gas.
Yeah.
The actual screws, the holes to put that in was actually on the wrong side. So we'd have had to take the whole thing apart to rectify the situation. So I just thought to myself, the hell with that there. I'll just screw it on into the woodwork as it stands. No one would know the difference. You wouldn't know.
And did you say into the wood?
Yes.
I'm guessing the other side wasn't wood.
No, the other side was wood, but it just had two wee pilot holes so I could screw into it.
Oh, right, okay.
So I just had to make my own wee pilot holes and screw into it. So it was fine. So no one would know that.
Okay.
The other situation is slightly more concerning.
What's that?
Well, there's meant to be four spacers between the metal and the wood. They're on the wrong side of the metal. So it goes wood, metal, spacer, then wing nut, right? Instead of... instead of wood, spacer, metal, wing nut.
Right.
So
meaning that the metal should be on the fire side, obviously, so it doesn't burn.
Yeah, so now the metal is right beside the wood. But it did say on a wee note, it says, make sure spacer is between metal and wood. Otherwise, it could cause the wood to burn. But on hindsight, I didn't read this bit till after it was completed.
Man and instructions, honestly.
Right?
Yeah.
And then whenever it says it could burn the wood, I sort of thought to myself, well, it doesn't say it definitely will burn the wood. And after 2 hours and a bit making it, I'm prepared to take the risk. And good news, well, I had a barbecue last night, right?
And did you burn the wood?
The wood didn't burn.
Whoa. Burnt wood's not good. The Pete's Snodden Breakfast
Show. Snodcast. Well, a very good morning, Northern Ireland. How are you doing? Welcome to the show. Welcome to Thursday. Hello, Kirsty.
Hello, Pete.
Hello, everybody. Hopefully you're well. Can you believe, right, that actually stopped raining for a wee while yesterday so I could play golf yesterday evening? It was very considerate.
Woo-hoo!
So much so, actually, that I shot, right, 21 points over 9 holes. And that means absolutely nothing to you, Kirsty. Sure it doesn't?
What's the par on the course?
It depends what your handicap is.
Oh, you see, I don't do handicaps.
I see. Anyway, 21 points is quite good. I finished 5th in our hat competition last night.
Well done.
Thank you. I got a £14 voucher to use in the pro shop. Yes, in! That'll get me a
couple. Go get some balls.
It'll probably get me a packet of balls, a Mars bar, and a can of Red Bull for the next round. Get in! Right, 6:03. Morning, everyone. Snodcast. Kirsty, guess what?
What?
It's nearly the weekend.
Do you know what? This week has flown by. It's gone just like that.
I know. We have this general wee running joke in the studio, particularly on a Monday, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to 9:50. And we're just about to wrap up the show and Sonia weighs into the studio. And it's like, she's like, oh, it's Monday. And we're like, it's nearly the weekend. And it's sort of a general joke that sort of keeps on going throughout the week. So every time I say it's nearly the weekend, it just makes us think of Sonia. She's back in the radio from 10 o'clock this morning. Right, Pete, when it comes to golf, you're obviously a bandit. 21 points in 9 holes. Yikes, Adam. Morning.
He says you're obviously what?
A bandit.
What's a bandit?
A bandit is someone who really should be playing off a lot lower handicap. In other words, cheating the system.
Oh, right, okay. So you're better than you're letting on.
No, but you see...
Was it a fluke last night?
It wasn't so much a fluke. It was just being more consistent than what I normally am. 21 points in 9 holes, but you can't cheat the system. At the end of the day, the handicap committee and the golf club decide what handicap you are.
Mm-hmm.
Can't pay them off or anything like that.
What
there.
Is your handicap?
17.
Right, that's not bad, actually.
That means that, I get 17 shots playing 18 holes. To be quite frank, okay, I know personally I should be playing off a lot less, but I just don't have the consistency.
So you get one shot off every
The hardest 17 holes in the course.
Well, off 17 holes.
Yes, then. Yes. Right, so if you were like playing off 9, you would get a shot off...
Every 8?
No, every 9 holes in the course. The hardest 9 holes in the course.
Right, okay.
Okay.
So you're better playing 9 than 18, really, because you get an extra point off.
No! Oh, my God. God, give me strength. Please.
What?
Right, okay, listen to me. This is the way it works, okay? You have 18 holes in the golf course.
Yes.
All right? Okay. Now, if you play off 18... Right?
Mm-hmm.
You get one shot per hole. So, if it's a par 4, right? If you're playing off like 0, zilch, zip, 0, nothing, nada, right?
Yeah.
You do not have a handicap, okay? You are like a professional, right? You play off 0. That means that you have to get the ball in the hole from the tee in 4 shots.
Which is the par.
Yes.
Right.
But if I play off 18 and I get one shot per hole, right?
Right. And you get it in 4, it's as if it's gone in 3. Would that be right?
Correct.
That's what I meant before.
But for me to get a par, right?
Yeah.
Net par would be if I got the ball in the hole in 5. Right? Okay. No.
So it doesn't really work to your advantage, does it?
It does.
Well, a wee bit. Makes you look less rubbish.
No. What I'm trying to say is, right, when it comes to points, okay, if I got the ball in 4, right?
Yes.
Okay. My handicap was 18. Okay, that means I would get 3 points, okay? Whereas if I was a scratch golfer, I'm playing off 0, and I put the ball in 4, I'd only get 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
But if I put it in 5, I would get 2 points because I'm one shot because of my handicap.
Right, of
so
course.
If someone plays off 9, they get a shot at the 9 hardest holes in the course, okay? If someone plays off 12, they get a shot at...
Oh, you see, I thought you meant 9 holes. Before.
Percy, I don't have a clue what you're thinking, and you don't have a notion what you're talking about, so that's all good. Graham says, it's good to hear the debate, haha. Anyway, moving on. We've sorted the lighting in the studio, ladies and gentlemen, not that there's a webcam for you to see. We came in this morning, it was very dark.
Oh, it was nice. I like it like
it's
that.
It's very dark. Woody must have been getting himself in the mood last night for the bedroom sessions. He made the lighting all subdued.
There we go.
Hey, it's the bedroom sessions. Kirsty, turn it off. I'm not in the mood here. Turn it off. Get it right. Turn the lights off so we can get it exactly the way Woody had it. Oh, yeah, baby, yeah! It could be like 11:30 and Michelle and Darren are getting it on the car in some car park somewhere in Northern Ireland and Woody's playing them their song.
Shall I shut the blinds?
Pardon?
Shall I turn the blinds?
You're ruining the mood!
Well, daylight's getting in.
Do you want to shut the blinds as well?
Yeah, let's see how dark it can get.
All right, okay. So is it all down?
It's all down.
Oh, yes. Oh, we're really grooving now. It's the bedroom sessions, ladies and gentlemen.
Actually, I like it like that.
See?
You just got the light of the computer screens. You look good.
Well, thank you very much. I tell you something, Kirsty, right? This is definitely the way to do the show.
And I can even read my paper for the news. I can do it like this.
No, if you're doing a bedroom session, you don't worry about news. No.
No, but I mean, why don't we do the breakfast show like this as well?
The only news you're looking for at that time of night is the love news. I can understand why Woody turns the lights off. Yeah, I can appreciate this.
The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show.
Snodcast.
No. Hello, Kirsty.
Hello, Pete.
Now, apparently 7 out of 10 men hate the shape of their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of relate to that. A wee bit myself, I have to say.
Well, men's bodies wouldn't be the best, do you know what I mean, to look at naked.
But whenever Beckham's there with his big package photograph for Armani,
he's
you're
not
all
naked.
Over it.
It'd be different if the pants were off.
No, but you still like that one. That photograph.
Well, he's got a nice six-pack, hasn't he?
So 7 out of 10 men hate the shape of their bodies, right? 1 in 3 are embarrassed about being naked in front of their partners. And I find this very, very, very hard to actually come to terms with. Because, let's face it, if blokes are getting naked, right, with their partners, you know, they're getting launched, they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Well, mind you, maybe it's 1 in 3 are embarrassed about being naked in front of their partners. Maybe because their partners are past it and they don't want to go there anymore. Maybe that's why they're sort of putting up this embarrassed front.
Well, so it's not their fault. it's their other half's fault, because men, it's nothing's ever their fault, is it?
That's right, yes. Don't be so daft. Women are never wrong. That's the thing. Women are never wrong.
Of course.
That's what you'd like to think. Anyway, 7 in 10 women also hate their bodies.
Right.
This brand new research shows this. Now, I'm quite impressed by this next fact this morning. Mm-hmm. Because for so long, you know, women have wanted to be stick thin. You know what I mean? Like Kate Moss, Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
Like Keira Knightley, that's fair. Let's face it. Like, she needs to put a wee bit of meat on. She's a beautiful looking girl. Don't get me wrong. She's another girl, right, who could come into the studio for an interview, and like Jordan Sparks and also Kate Garraway, and she could sit in my knee, no problem. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't complain one bit. If you missed the papers this morning, a girl who was on Eamon Holmes show yesterday morning on ITV, of course, this morning, Eamon's presented over the summer whilst Fern and Philip
are away.
Kirstie cried her eyes out because Fern and Philip were off for 6 weeks. But anyway, this girl who was on came and sat on Eamon's knee.
Not realising.
Eamon was shocked.
Not realising it was going out live.
Yeah. She snuggled up to him and all.
Oh dear.
Anyway. Talking of Keira Knightley, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Keira Knightley needs to put on a wee bit of meat. She does. But anyway, she's still a gorgeous looking girl. Don't get me wrong. But anyway, there's a thing which amazes me this morning is that women now dream of having a figure like Colleen McLaughlin, which is good, not the stick thin variety. I have to say, I like curvy.
Do we have her stats?
Yes, she is 32B, 26, 33. Her curves are the ideal figure, apparently. Mm-hmm. She has beat Kelly Brook and also Holly Willoughby to the top spot.
Oh, really? Wait.
Yeah.
There's a lovely picture in the papers of Holly Willoughby today.
Yes.
She's got a lovely smile. She reminds me of Kat Deeley, in a way. But no cleavage in this one.
What?
She's all covered up. She's got like a street mate outfit on. Something she would have worn for that show, for X Factor.
You're telling me that people are interested in Holly Willoughby without the cleavage?
It would appear so.
No way. Snodcast. Earlier on, we were discussing our internet habits. Last night, I explained the internet sites that I was on, including Bebo, mm-hmm. Hotmail, Nationwide, HMB.com, my personal email address, and Microsoft Outlook, the web edition, to check out my email from work. That's what I was on last night. And then Kirstie was on pretty much the same, with the exception of Match, which is an internet dating site. So I want to know exactly what was going on her site, because I was trying to find it this morning but couldn't get on unless I signed up to be a member. And to be quite frank, I'm not up for being a member at all. My wife would think I'm looking for someone else, and that's not the case. So, Kirstie, did you find yours on the website?
Yeah, but it'd take me forever to read you my profile.
Oh, come on. Give us a quick wee rendition of it. Cut it down.
Let me see.
This is Kirstie's profile.
It's coming.
We're waiting for it.
Okay, one minute. I've got to get to the right bit.
Because there's testimonies for people on this side, apparently. So I've written a testimony for Kirstie, and Kirstie's going to include this.
Can we have some sad music, actually? Because it's quite sad.
Is it?
Yeah, can we have... Do-do-do-do.
Oh, no, I don't know whether I'm up for it, but it's Friday, Kirstie. I don't do sad on a Friday. Huh? Can we not have...
Right, I'll just read it then.
Can we not have a bit of this? Does that work?
We'll see.
Oh, okay.
Right, okay.
Because if I play the other one, then I think I'll break down as well. Are you ready?
Okay. Okay, so without sounding desperate, if that's possible, I've had enough of being single, on my own now for over 7 months, the longest in a long time. Have no hang-ups on previous relationships, I'm well and truly ready to move on. Anyway, I'm not sure what I'm after, really. Just on here to see if my luck is on my side for a change. Looking for someone who can look after themselves and doesn't need someone to boost their confidence or make them feel better about themselves. In fact, someone who wants to look after me for a change would be great, lol. But I do like to spoil a partner too. I am fussy though, but don't take it personally. Oh yeah, and I don't play games or want to be mucked around either. Looks aren't everything, but they help. Sorry, just being honest. Oh, and nice hands and teeth are a must.
Oh, there you
that's
go.
That's the first paragraph. It goes on.
That's very good. You didn't need the sad music for that. That's quite...
No, the first bit, you know, no, without trying to sound desperate.
Okay.
You know, it sounds desperate no matter what way you put
it. Okay, read it out again.
Okay, so without sounding desperate, if that's possible, I've had enough of being single. On my own now for over 7 months, the longest in a long time.
Right, okay, stop it. I think the other bed was better to play over.
Right, okay.
All right, it was far better to play that while you're reading. Right, okay, then, so do you want your testimony?
Yeah, go on then.
Right, okay, so this is Kirsty's testimony from myself. This is her work colleague. All right?
Yeah.
Her mate.
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Top bird, 5'7", sometimes
I'm not
blonde.
Not 5'7".
What are you?
5'5".
Okay, then. I was giving you... That was another compliment there, but that's fine. No problem. Okay.
There's nothing wrong with being 5'5".
No, there's not at all. Top bird, 5'5", sometimes blonde, sometimes brown, great crack, loves a laugh, not a head wrecker, laid back, will shave legs for the special occasion.
Snodcast.
Now, something's been really doing my head in for quite some time. I've mentioned in the, what we do in the studio in the mornings whilst we're doing the show. We have the TV on in the background. Mm. And on our left-hand TV, we would have BBC on. And on the right-hand TV, we would have GMTV on. And something I've noticed time and time again over the past few months is the fact that the presenters, whoever's on, keep on changing sides in the sofa.
BBC don't do it, do they?
No. But they just sit there the way they are all morning, right?
GMTV
But in GMTV they do. And I've always wanted to know why. So I thought during the last song we would actually phone GMTV to try and find out what the situation is. And this is the way it went.
GMTV, good morning.
Good morning, how are you doing? It's Pete in Belfast. Are you well today?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yes, I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
I'll tell you what I'm phoning. I'm watching Ben and Kate on your sofa this morning.
Yes.
Can you explain to me why they keep on changing sides?
Now, I'm sure there is a good reason for it, but I don't know the reason.
Would you be able to find out for me?
I'm sure I could do.
Because I watch your programme on a regular basis.
Yeah.
All right. I'm actually a radio presenter.
Right.
And we're doing the show this morning, and I keep on noticing that between the ad breaks, Kate and Ben keep on changing sides.
All the presenters do that, funny enough. Then it's got to be a technical reason. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can find out now for you.
Thank you very much. So, she disappeared off, and guess who she spoke to? Richard Arnold. True Bill. Because I told her, Richard always stays in the same size as the sea. And she goes, oh, well, I'll go and ask Richard now. So off she went to speak to Richard, and then she came back.
Hello, Pete.
Hello.
It's so logical, the answer.
Okay.
They change over because they never interview the same guest. So they know in advance what the next guest that's coming in, who's it doing the interview. So they change seats ready to be nearer the guest, so they don't talk over each other.
Ah, right, okay. Well, that makes perfect sense.
It's logical, isn't it?
Well, it is now you've told me.
Oh, there you are.
what's your name, by the way?
My name's Annie.
Annie, you've been an absolute star. Thank you so much.
Lovely, nice talking to you.
The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show. Snodcast.
Let's go live to the car park. Hello, Kirsty.
Hello, yes, I'm coming live from the 97.4 Cool FM car park in Newton Ards.
Wow.
And I'm looking up at the sky. It's bright.
See, there's going to be an eclipse at 8.30 this morning. What's going on?
Yeah, well, at the minute, there's a great big cloud over it, but I'm still being blinded because it's quite a bright cloud, if you know what I mean.
Did you not put your sunnies on?
It's not that sunny at the minute.
Kirsty.
I can see that the sun is shining behind the cloud, but I can't actually see the sun.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
Kirsty, you're meant to wear your sunglasses. Health and safety.
I've got my hand over my eyes a little bit. I keep looking away.
Right, okay.
I can see some white spots, though. I think that's a bad sign. So be careful when you're looking. Oh, the clouds are moving. They're shifting. Please. Come on, I want to see it. It's, oh, come on. We're so close. Oh, I can see the sun. Can you believe it?
Ladies and gentlemen, Kirsty is chasing the sun.
I'm being blinded. Oh, and you know what?
What?
There is a bit of an eclipse thing going on.
Wowee.
But it's only like a little top segment of, you know, it looks like somebody's taken a bite out of the top of it.
But it is happening.
It is happening.
Oh,
yeah.
Congratulations to the newsroom. They got the story right.
The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show. Snodcast.
All right, folks, thank you all so much for checking out this week's Snodcast. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to the Snodcast episodes at iTunes, all for free. Or, of course, as usual, you can download it from coolfm.co.uk. Remember, tell your friends. We're worldwide, you know. You can catch the show in real time, weekday morning 6 to 10, on your number one hit music station, 97.4 Cool FM.